It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's not some nostalgic or wistful memory of what has been, or some nebulous hope of what might be. It's not a fair weather friend that draws close to you in the summer and then abandons you in the winter. It's not dependent on circumstances or only for warm, fuzzy moments. Gratitude, after all, is a choice. An act of the will where we place ourselves completely in God's will, no matter what happens. A determination to hope in the Lord in the midst of both happiness and sorrow. To give thanks for the good things He has given and the good things He has taken away. An inexpressible confidence in His love. An inexplicable peace in His will. It turns pain into joy, trial into triumph, sorrow into sanctity, and suffering into redemption. Gratitude gives thanks to God not because things are good, but because He is good. In gratitude, our wills become one with God's, so that we bless Him for the life He has given us and long for the day when He calls us home. Not my will, but yours be done. And so for all the good things that are to come, and all the heartaches too, oh Lord, we give You thanks.
What a special Sunday that we have to be gathered together as we kind of land the plane on, I guess, what is slowly becoming a gratitude week. So we begin last week talking about gratitude as a choice, as something that we choose to do no matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on in life. We choose gratefulness. We choose to be thankful. Wednesday, we had a time of good fellowship, good food. I want to remind and give a shout out, a thank you to Dave and Tammy and Dick and Becky and the Pickleball Band for leading us on Wednesday evening. And this morning, we have two other couples that are going to share with us, Jared and Sarah and Doug and Paulette. But before I invite Jared and Sarah up, I would like to read Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul has a statement there that I think is very, very fitting for what we are doing this morning. Verse 15 says, all of this that we are doing is for your benefit. So this morning, as you listen to Jared and Sarah and Doug and Paulette, this is for your benefit, to be encouraged, to be built up, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. So with that, I invite Jared and Sarah Cooey to come on up.
Good morning. Earlier this week, Jared asked me if I knew what I was going to talk about today, and I said, this is going to sound a little cheesy, but I want to talk about church in the falls. And he said, hey, me too. So this was not planned. And I did write out what I'm going to say because I don't want to forget anything. All right. When I was a young girl, I would occasionally spend the weekend with my aunt, uncle, and cousins in Mentor, and I would get to attend church with them. They went to a much smaller non-denominational church compared to the much larger Catholic church I went to. It was weird at first as a kid to attend a church that wasn't your own, but after several visits, I began to see how special their church was. Everyone knew everyone else and what was going on in their lives. They spent time in fellowship and invested in each other's lives. They went to birthday parties and sporting events. They even remembered me each visit and included me like one of their own. One specific memory stands out to me the most. My grandma passed away when I was 10, and in a break between calling hours, my family went downstairs to a private area for a meal. What awaited us there was a room full of comforting food and warm hugs. You see, my aunt and uncle's church took it upon themselves to provide a meal for us that day. They didn't know most of my family, but it didn't matter. They just wanted to do something to ease our grief that day. I don't even know if anyone from my church knew that my grandma had passed away. That stuck with me for a very long time. As I continued to grow older, I began longing for a place like my aunt and uncle's church, a smaller church where I felt a true sense of belonging and community. That longing stayed with me for years. After I graduated from college, my family began attending the chapel in Akron. We went from one really large church to another. I tried to find a small group to join and volunteer to try to get to know people, but I never really found my place. Little did I know, God would soon lead me to Jared and eventually here. Two amazing blessings in one. Church in the Falls is the place I had been searching for. The longing in my heart I had experienced for so long was finally satisfied. Here I have found a spiritual family that is better than any I could have imagined. Here I have found a place to belong and grow. As I look out on you this morning, I see people who have cried with me, laughed with me, and prayed with me. I see people who have celebrated with me and grieved with me. I see people who teach me, challenge me, and disciple me. I see people who have blessed our marriage and our children through prayer and loving acts of service. I see friends who have become like family. I see spiritual mothers and fathers who continue to guide me ever deeper in my faith. If you haven't been coming here very long or do not know a lot of people yet, we aren't perfect, but I can say with certainty that this church family loves God and loves each other. With deep and sincere gratitude, I am delighted to stand before you today to tell you that you are all what I am thankful for. Thank you for being such an amazing blessing to me. As Paul wrote in Philippians 1:3, whenever you cross my mind, I thank my God for you and for the gift of knowing you.
She's pretty awesome. I already knew that, so yeah. So many of you know that I have been coming to this church since I was born. My parents started coming to this church in the early 1970s, and I came along just a short time later. My mom has told me that the first time they came here, the preacher at the time, named Ron Loffery, preached a sermon that although we were Christians only, we weren't the only Christians. And that really resonated with my parents. That is something even today, in many churches of Christ, you don't hear, let alone in the 1970s. There was just something beautifully different about this place, and I think that holds true today. I have been so blessed to know so many amazing brothers and sisters throughout my life here at church, and I just wanted to talk about a few that are no longer with us, but that I am so thankful for. And I have some pictures. Lee Bowles. Lee came to this church as part of the World Christian Broadcasting Corporation, WCBC, that used to reside here in the upstairs of our building. He was fluent in Japanese and spent some time there as a missionary, as I recall. I also remember him as a very good singer and leading us in singing from time to time. He had a great sense of humor and became good friends with my dad and friends of our family. And I fondly remember times when my dad was in the hospital and he always made sure to visit him. Charlie Carman. Charlie was a longtime elder of this church and was always very kind to me as a kid. What I remember the most about him was that he knew the Bible forwards and backwards. There probably has never been a better Bible teacher that this church has ever had. If there was ever a question about the Bible that my dad didn't know, he would say, "I'll ask Charlie." I remember that Charlie was also a hemophiliac. It's a blood disorder. And he was the world president of the leading hemophiliac organization. Went around the world for that. Andy Deacon. Many may remember Andy as our Russian missionary for many years. He lived here, but he would take many trips a year over to Russia, often when it was cold and very dangerous, to share the good news of Jesus with the Russian people. But some of my favorite memories of Andy were from before his missionary days. He also had a great sense of humor. I'll never forget a time when I was in the youth group and we took a trip for whitewater rafting and tent camping. Randy Wallace, you were there too. Yep. Andy was one of our chaperones for the trip, and I don't think I have ever laughed so much in one weekend. Jim Hogan. Jim was another longtime elder here at Church in the Falls. He was another outstanding Bible teacher. If you ever attended his class on angels or on Revelation, he had a way of opening your eyes to things you never thought of before. But what I remember about Jim was something that my dad told me about him. I think that my dad had always believed in God, but I don't think he regularly attended church until he met my mom. When my parents began coming to this church, my dad still had questions about faith. Jim Hogan was one of the people my dad mentioned to me that was willing to sit down with him. "How do you know someone didn't just make all this stuff up?" he asked. And Jim said, "Well, let me show you." And he did. When my dad was moved to palliative care on the final day of his life, Jim Hogan... was also one of his final visitors. Dean Martin. You heard that name correctly. Dean Martin. Or as he would sometimes say, the real Dean Martin. To this day, Dean is one of my most favorite people I have ever known. There was such a warmth to him, and you couldn't help but feel that he truly cared about you. Every Sunday, Dean used to stand at the entrance of our auditorium and welcome people in. I know there were a few people who said they attended Church of the Falls solely because of how they were treated by Dean Martin. Shirley McKee. Shirley was a wonderful lady, a great friend to my mom, and a high school classmate of my dad. Her husband, Joe, was also a classmate of my dad's and was one of his best friends. One thing that I remember about Shirley was that for many, many years, she was a faithful follower of Jesus and a committed member of this church. Joe, though, was not. I think now about the hundreds of Sundays that Shirley got in the car alone to come to church as Joe stayed home. I think about how much she must have prayed for her husband to come to church. Day after day, year after year, decade after decade. I wonder if she felt at times that God wasn't listening as she drove herself to church on yet another Sunday. But then one day, because of Shirley's prayers, many other people's prayers, and a very persistent minister by the name of Mark Brazel, Joe McKee did come to church. And he kept coming to church. He was baptized by Mark, and I have no doubt today that he and Shirley are both enjoying the kingdom of heaven. So if there's someone in your life that you have been praying the same thing for, don't give up. Stanley and Marion Nichols. What a wonderful couple they were. Marion and I shared the same birthday, and she would often say when she saw me, "Hey, There's my birthday twin. Stanley was a true hero. He fought in World War II and was in the Battle of the Bulge. And if you've studied World War II, you may know that that was a very cold battle. So cold that Stanley lost both of his legs to frostbite as a result. He had two prosthetic legs and a walker that he came to church with every Sunday. He had to move slow, but he was always here and was always sharing a smile, a handshake, and encouragement. Bob and Barb Schray, another wonderful couple. Bob was an elder here for a while, and Barb was a counselor for many years. But what I remember most about Bob and Barb was that they were my third and fourth grade Sunday school teachers. I'll never forget when they invited all the kids over to their house on Sunday afternoon, and Bob took us all for a ride in his 1928 Buick. I got confirmation from Harold on that year. It was such a thrill. When Bob was young, he was a great baseball player. So good, in fact, that he was scouted by a few Major League Baseball teams. But Bob contracted polio when he was young, and that ended the baseball dream. But I think Bob eventually saw that as more of a blessing than a curse, because it changed the course of his life. He lived out Proverbs 16:9, which says, "In his heart man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Bob had a hard time walking and getting around, but I never heard him complain, and he never seemed to let it hold him back. Clyde Carpenter. This is Harold Carpenter's father. I remember Clyde from when I was a kid. Clyde was a veteran of World War I. In fact, I remember that he became one of the oldest living veterans from World War I. I can't say that I remember a lot about Clyde other than he was always smiling and always shook my hand. And as I look back now, I think about how special that was. I was able to shake the hand of a World War I veteran every Sunday. I don't think there's many people that can say that. Marge Cameron. This is the only picture I could find of her, and it shows her a bit younger than when I remember her. But her name was Marge Cameron, and she was a great friend of my mom's. She lived down the street from us, and our families often got together. I remember she was diagnosed with scleroderma, and my mom would often go to her house and lend a hand. If you aren't familiar with what a terrible disease scleroderma is, it is a rare, incurable disease that basically turns the person into something of a statue. It hardens the skin and tissue from the outside to the inside. And I remember Marge no longer being able to use her hands. I also remember that when she was diagnosed, they told her she had about 4 months to live. She lived for 7 years before it took her life. And I remember the great dignity and grace she always had, even towards the end. All of these people have had an effect on me and my family. It's funny, when you're typing this out, you don't feel this. When I read or hear about how many people are leaving church behind, I wonder if they really understand all that they're leaving behind. This is just a few people off my list, and I'm sure many of you can make a similar list of the wonderfully resilient, faithful men and women of God that you have had the honor to know within the church. I am so thankful that I have been able to have experiences with people like this. Hemophilia, polio, scleroderma, legs lost to frostbite, a husband that refused to come. None of these things kept these wonderful people from making coming to church a high priority in their lives. I am thankful for their example. These people helped shape who my parents were, who in turn helped shape who I am, and who in turn are helping shape who my children are becoming. Going to church matters. There are also many more people sitting in here today that I am equally thankful for, who have shown me how to love and live like Jesus. I shudder to think of who I would be if not for coming to church in the falls. And I'm glad I don't have to find out. Happy Thanksgiving.
Before we transition to Doug and Paulette, I want to honor the words that Jared and Sarah spoke. If you know somebody in this room that was on the screen, I want to invite you to take a few moments to thank God for that person or for that family. And if you didn't know anybody on the screen during this time of silence, I want you to pray for anybody in this room who may know of someone that was on the screen, who is no longer currently, presently here with us, but yet still making waves and impacting folks. So let's take a moment of silent thanksgiving, and then I'll invite Doug and Paulette up. Father, thank you for Jared and Sarah. Thank you for their love for you. Thank you for their love for this church body, this church family. Father, we pray for their marriage. We pray for their kids. We pray for their commitment to their family and their commitment to one another and this church family. God, thank you for the wonderful ways in which you move and in which you work. You are so, so good. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd like to invite Doug and Paulette Gates.
First, I'd like to share our thank you note to God. Dear God, Creator, Father, we are humbled by you. Your greatness, your love, your power, your willingness, your care. You know us through and through and love us anyway. We thank you. We thank you for seeing our needs and filling them many times, even before we are aware that they are needs. You provided a way for us to know you before we were born, and you are taking care of our future before it comes to be. We thank you. Please help us to rest in that knowledge. Lord, you've blessed our lives so abundantly that we can hardly take it all in. Relationships come to our minds first. We don't deserve a loving family or the perfect spouse for us, or our children or our grandchildren, our friends, our church family, our country founded on your principles. But we gratefully accept and appreciate each one of these gifts. We don't deserve good health or optimistic attitudes, or emotional stability, or abilities, talents, or opportunities. But we gratefully and humbly accept them, and we thank you. We thank you for protecting us from the evil one. We thank you for forgiving us when we give in to his lies and deceits. We thank you for the hope that you give us, hope for the day and hope for the future. We thank you for being bigger than our fears and anxieties and concerns. We thank you for little things that bring joy and comfort and encouragement and satisfaction. We thank you most of all for choosing us, for Jesus providing a way for us, for the Holy Spirit that lives in each of us to guide and comfort us, and for preparing a forever home with you. We thank you for listening to us and desiring relationships with such flawed people. We thank you for seeing us as righteous and as yours. We love you.
We'd like to continue with some thoughts that express our gratitude to God in three areas. First, in his providence, as we have individually seen that in our early lives. Secondly, in our family. And lastly, in his loving faithfulness in times of transition in our life as a couple. I think times of transition in anyone's life are always difficult. And God's presence is sorely needed, and he is faithful. Paulette and I both grew up in Christian homes where God was honored, and we had opportunities to not only accept Jesus, but to learn to love him and serve him. Those early experiences set the stage for our lives. Paulette and I can see God's providence and faithfulness in those early years by the experiences we had and the people that he brought into our lives. We didn't always see it at the time, but when we look back, it is very clear. We're very grateful for that. We met while we were in college at Lipscomb in Nashville and married 2.5 years later. In the very beginning of our marriage, God led us to a ministry in which we invested ourselves, and through working together in that endeavor, he blessed our early years of marriage greatly. We are extremely grateful to God for each other, and that is an understatement. He has been the force behind our love and deep commitment to each other. We're grateful for Ryan and Emily, our children, who have brought us incredible amounts of joy. Parenting isn't without challenges, but in all of it, God has been faithful. Thank you, God. We thank God for our grandchildren. It's so much more fun to be grandparents than parents. And seeing our own children being expressed in our grandchildren is such a joy-filled blessing. Even though we knew that God was guiding us through the many transitions in our lives, we can see the details of his working more clearly in looking back than we could see at the time, which is always the case. The first transition of our life together came after I was a full-time student with a full-time working wife. That scenario flipped, darn it, as God led me to a wonderful position as a veterinarian, and he enabled us to start a family. A move to a new city, making new friends, and adjusting to a new way of life wasn't easy, but we were blessed as God saw us through that. Our move from Lorain to the Falls here in 1981 had God's fingerprints all over it in so many ways. Coming here with a toddler and a newborn and a patient wife, a new business and so many hopes and dreams, it could feel overwhelming at times. But God brought joys to every area of our lives. Looking back, we can even see his influence in ministry opportunities here, in friendships, and in all the decisions he led us through. Thank you, Father. As a couple, we were heavily invested in our children, as so many of you are. One of our prime goals was that they would see God in us and want to emulate that. And you know, as a parent, how weak you are sometimes. Despite our weaknesses, we feel blessed that He multiplied our efforts and our children know Him today. All right, knock it off. We are so grateful to God for leading us through the challenging transition of our children leaving home. We were a close family and enjoyed each other, so we knew we would miss them. God was especially faithful to us at that time. I can remember driving away from Lipscomb after dropping Ryan off for his first year there. And I think Paul had only cried for the first couple hundred miles. A saying that Paul had often repeats is that God gives you the grace to handle what you need to handle when you need to handle it. And that's true. That proved to be true at that time. As we trusted the Father, He filled our hearts with joy and love, and we made it through. Emily left 2 years later, and we were empty nesters. That can be scary. The thought of that after having kids with you for 20 years. But God continued to bless our love for one another, and we found that being empty nesters wasn't so bad. Not that we didn't miss Ryan and Emily, but we truly enjoyed the time together because we were blessed by His love, and we maintained our passion for Him as He saw us through that transition. Now, speaking personally, probably my biggest transition time or hurdle was accepting the fact that my daughter was getting married. In my mind, there would never be anyone good enough for her. It's impossible. In my lack of faith, I wondered if God was capable of making a man good enough for my daughter. Well, God's faithfulness and providence took care of that. It was difficult for me, but after prayer and fasting, I knew God was telling me that Jeremy was good enough. I don't know. And I knew I could trust the Father, even in this matter. I have much gratitude in my heart for Jeremy, and the wedding was a joyous occasion, and they have a wonderful life together. The next major transition for us was retirement. I must admit, I was looking forward to it more than Paulette was. She was a little concerned about what her life would be like having this guy hanging around all the time disturbing her schedule. Well, God eased us through this time, and here we are today. Our love and appreciation for each other continues to grow by His grace. Have there been bumps? Absolutely. Some big ones. However, God's presence and love in our lives has allowed us to be sustained and grow in our love for Him as well as for one another. We're so grateful to Him for His sovereignty. Well, Michael also asked us to share a passage that has influenced our prayers or one for which we are particularly grateful. Well, it turns out I have 10. Got some time? But I've whittled it down to two. The first is Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. I've changed some of the verbiage to make it personal. I pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, you will empower me with inner strength through your Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in my heart as I trust in Him. I pray my roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep me strong, and that I may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love for me is. I pray I will experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then I will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. We should never shrink back from asking God for His power to understand His love in our lives. The second passage in the conclusion, Psalm 73, 23 through 26. It is very comforting and reassuring to me, and it's also a proclamation. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire but you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen.
Arise, team, y'all can come on up. We'd like to take a moment of thankful silence, of prayer for Doug and Paulette and for all that they shared with us. So let's take a moment of prayerful thanks for that time. God, thank you for Doug and for Paulette. Thank you for your work in their life. God, thank you for their love that they have for you, the love that they have for this church family. Thank you for the example that they have been and that they are and that they will continue to be to each one of us and to their family. God, thank you for the stories. Thank you for the memories. Thank you for the wonderful way in which you have been at work in us and through us this morning. We give you praise and we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand with me, please, as we close out our service with this final song. If you would like to receive prayers from your brothers and sisters, please come down and see me. If you need to see one of our shepherds, they will be in the prayer room. But such a wonderful, wonderful day to be together. Amen, church.
Amen.
Let's close it out in praise.